then went on to sell over 10 million copies. So a lot of people have read it, and a lot of people 20 years ago were praying the prayer, and I think most people would tell you they saw things happen in their lives that were pretty amazing. And then we just kind of put it on the shelf and maybe didn't continue to pray the prayer. So tonight I'm going to just unpack that. We're going to look at the scriptures and different things. How many of you, when you're doing your one-year Bible plan, you know, you get to, I always like starting with Genesis, you know, I'm into it. And I stay into it till we start getting to the books where they start saying so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so was the son of this, and then it just becomes all these names that you can't pronounce, and then you're just like, how fast can I just skim it so that I can check off that I got my chapters read? But you're not really paying that close of attention. Well, Jabez is tucked away in a book of the Bible that's one of the least read books of the Bible. It's in one of the least read sections of the Bible. And in chapter 4 of 1 Chronicles, 44 names into the chapter, we see the name Jabez. Things started out, pops up. We can summarize it in about three parts. Things started out badly. He prayed a simple prayer, and things ended extremely well. So don't you love short little sermons that you can just pull from and then run with? And this is going to be one of those kind of sermons. So before I go into the prayer of Jabez, I just wanted to let you know that there's some people, some Christians, that think the prayer of Jabez is a selfish prayer. And since, you know, the New Testament gave us the Lord's Prayer, that's the correct prayer to pray. I actually watched a sermon about this. This man was talking about this. It's been watched many, many thousands of times. And he's just dissing this prayer. And it kind of got, you know, like, what's up with that? He thinks we should be praying more about the kingdom, less for ourselves. But you know what? I believe that there's room for all types of prayer. I believe, I pray the Lord's Prayer almost daily. I love it. When you pray the Lord's Prayer and you break it down and you kind of expound on each line of it, you can pray for an hour the Lord's Prayer. And it's powerful. I also pray regularly the armor of God over myself in the morning. Anybody else do that? Because I don't want to go out there without the armor on. Sometimes I pray through Psalms 23. I've prayed 100 Bible promises over my prodigal son. I do that regularly. There's a season I loved praying the tabernacle prayer. But you know what? Most of the time when I pray, I just talk to him. There's no formula. It's just me talking to God and then me hopefully spending some time listening to the Lord. But I don't think that the Lord is wanting us just to pray one prayer for the rest of our lives. I mean, he's the creator of the universe, a very creative God. I think there's room for the prayer of Jabez in our prayer closet, right? So normally tonight, you know, on our Wednesday night prayer time, we spend an hour really praying for our prodigals today, and we're praying for the country, and we're praying for our church, and we're praying for our prodigals. Tonight, though, we're actually going to start with praying this prayer. We're going to pray for ourselves. And for some of us, that might just feel weird tonight because we don't really come in here. It's not about us. And I love that about you guys. I love that we have a church full of intercessors that are selflessly on a Wednesday night when it's dark, really dark outside now. You're here to pray for the body of Christ and for those that are lost, and I love that about you guys. But tonight, it's going to be about you. You get to go to the Father on behalf of your own needs. And isn't that going to be fun? So we're going to do that tonight. So I have three kids, and I love them. I love them all. They're amazing. And I feel like I raised them all equally with the same. But when I really look at it, one of my kids got more things than the others. I have two boys and one girl. Can you guess which one probably came out ahead? It was my daughter. And she would probably be the first one to tell you it's because she constantly was asking for things. Not she wasn't really into things, but she was always big on experiences, and her biggest thing every year was her birthday. Now, we began the birthday conversation about 6 months before her birthday every year. I mean, it was way too soon. And I would be like, no, don't start the birthday conversation. But she would. And we would talk about it and what her dream was for the next birthday. And they were always these grand parties. And I don't like planning parties. I was a bad mom in that way. I did not. I just wanted really low-key parties, like maybe some family over. Maybe we'll just go to dinner and to your choice of restaurant. But no, my daughter wanted, you know, 30 kids over, and let's turn the backyard into the... And I dreaded her birthday every year, but then, you know, it's like, oh, and I dreaded her birthday every year, but guess what happened when her birthday came around? She got the birthday she wanted because she kept asking. And I think Jabez is like that. In this book of 1 Chronicles, where we see 44 names listed in chapter 4, I think they were probably all good, you know, Hebrews. They were good children of Abraham. But they just weren't the kind that got God's attention. But Jabez comes along, and he's finally one man who's crying out for relationship with the God of Israel. He's wanting to get the attention of the God of Israel, and he does. So we're going to look at 1 Chronicles 4, 9, and 10. Now, 9 won't come up, so I'm going to read this part to you first, and then you'll see 10 up here on the screen. So verse 9 says, "Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called him Jabez, saying, 'Because I bore him in pain.' And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain.' So God granted him what he requested." So just to pick this apart, we see in verse 9 that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And if you look at the core of that word in Hebrews, that word honorable there, means man of weight. He was a man of weight or character. He was more noble than his brothers, more distinguished. He stood out from his brothers. Now, if you think about someone who stands out in a good way, what typically does that person have going for him? Maybe they're just an unusually kind, good thing, because there's so many people that don't have excellent character. People like that stand out, don't they? Because there's so many people that don't have those qualities. So Jabez stood out. But his name meant pain. Now, that is an unfortunate name. What if your name was Pain? Hey, Pain, get over here, Pain. You know, what your friends would probably call you, Pain in the... You know, so it was not a good name, and all his life that name was spoken over him every single day. His mother had borne him in pain. "You're the child that caused me such great pain. It's you." So that could have defined him, that name, being such a negative name, but it doesn't. And that is good news for us, because what it says to us is it does not matter what's in your past. It doesn't matter what someone else has spoken over you that's negative. No, it means that you can still cry out to God and ask a big God for big things, because that's exactly what Jabez does. So one of the reasons I wanted to teach on the prayer of Jabez tonight was because I just had such a recent, semi-recent, it was 2018 when I had pulled this book out and prayed through it, and some really interesting things happened. I wanted to tell you about that tonight, and also a story that my daughter told me. So at the beginning of 2018, Matt and I were pastoring 3-in-1 church. I think we were about 8.5 years into the church plant, and things were going well, but they felt... I guess we would have probably felt like we'd hit a wall, and we knew our church, we needed some kind of a breakthrough, and we didn't really know what that would look like, but we knew we needed to pray in order to get that breakthrough. So we began to have, our church met in a movie theater, and so it was real awkward to find other places during the week to meet, but we found a school that we could meet at, private school, So on Sunday nights, we started meeting every Sunday night for about 8 weeks. We did prayers and different things. And one of the nights, we were praying through different prayers and different things. And one of the nights, we went through the prayer of Jabez. And so I taught it for the first time. I'd never taught it. And we prayed through it. And then it just really, like, something in me said, you need to keep praying this prayer. So I did. I personally just began to pray the prayer. For probably that entire month, I was praying the prayer of Jabez. I don't know that I went much past that, but it definitely impacted me for that month. I knew something was coming. I knew it involved territory, and I really thought it was going to be for 3-in-1 Church. I believed it was going to be a breakthrough for our church to get our own land or to get our own building. I was really thinking that's what God was having me pray this prayer for. But I don't think in the end it really was about that so much. It was really going to be a personal breakthrough for me. And so in 2018, something unusual at work happened to where I went down to a 4-day work week, which was awesome. Oh, I want those days to come back. But so that year, I was doing a 4-day work week, and then I began to be stirred in my heart that I was supposed to write a book, and I was supposed to put the promises that God had given for me, for my son. I was supposed to record those in a book to help other parents that were going through similar things with their prodigals. And so because I had the 4-day week, I suddenly had extra time. The Lord also put on my heart to get off screens, so I went off social media. I didn't watch television, didn't go to movies for 2 months then. I just had this unusual, like, I don't know, window of time where I actually had time to write books along with doing my job. So I got that done, and anyway, so throughout the year, I was then editing the book, did about 5 edits on the book, so by November... by about August, I think I was ready to try to get a publisher and all that. But I didn't want to try to get a publisher and all that, but I did want some people to find out about the book. So I thought, well, I'm going to need some people to endorse the book. And so I took a copy of the book to Pat Robertson's secretary, and I sent it off to some other people I knew. But I took it to Pat Robertson's secretary at the, 700 Club, Pat Robertson. And I said, Gigi, I know I'm really kind of embarrassed to do this, but I've got this book and I've written a little letter about what it's about. And if Pat would consider giving me an endorsement, like, that would be amazing. And so sure enough, I just kind of gave that to her, walked back to my desk, and just thought, well, hopefully God's in it, and hopefully I'll get something, some kind of something, maybe in a couple weeks or whatever. She came back to me, and she never, walked to my desk. I mean, maybe I would go to hers at times, but she came all the way down and found me, and she said, Pat not only wants to endorse your book, oh, by the way, here it is. He'd already written it. Like, we're talking, within 45 minutes. He'd already written it, and he wants you to be on the 700 Club. And I was like, what? What? So anyway, that was the first, miracle, I would say, that I felt like came from praying the prayer of Jabez. And I'm going to share another one about my daughter, too, but I want to get into this prayer. So the first part of the prayer, it says, and Jabez called on the God of Israel. So when you pray, here's the way to start it. Call on the God of Israel. Have you ever started a prayer with, oh, God of Israel? I mean, that's a big way to start a prayer, isn't it? I really hadn't thought about that, but as I was writing the sermon, I started, oh, God of Israel, speak through. I mean, I felt like, oh, God of Israel, help me tonight. Oh, God of Israel, speak through. I mean, I felt like my prayer just got super big just by starting it with, oh, God of Israel. So I want to encourage you to try that. It was really cool. When you think about us, when we grew up all learning the stories of the Old Testament, right? Well, so did Jabez. He grew up hearing the stories of how God had rescued the people from slavery. He'd heard the stories about how God had parted the Red Sea and how God had parted the Jordan River and how God had brought the walls of Jericho down, how he'd fed the children of Israel with manna and quail and water from a rock. He'd heard the same stories we'd heard. And if God could do something great before, why not now? Why not for him? And you know what? It's the same thing for you and me. If God could do it before, why can't he do it for us, right? So I want to encourage you to cry out for the wonderful, unlimited goodness that only God has the power to know about or to give to us. And there's some other names for God, you know, Jehovah, Elohim, Yahweh, Master of the Universe. Put some big God titles at the beginning of your prayer. Because you know what? That gets you out of our small little way of thinking, and it makes you realize who you're talking to, right? Secondly, he says, oh, that you would bless me indeed. Now, putting indeed on the end of that sentence is in Hebrew, it was like adding 5 exclamation points. Or typing it in all caps. Don't you hate getting emails where somebody's typed everything in all caps? I'm like, stop shouting at me. But that's what's happening here. Is he's like, he's crying out to God. He's shouting, oh God, bless me indeed. He's serious. And he's not asking favor. Blessings that he could never own strength. No, he's wanting a supernatural kind of favor. Blessings that he could never make happen on his own. Like I said, you know, with when I wrote my books, I could never have made that whole thing happen to where Pat, you know, gave me an endorsement, asked me to be on the show. I mean, that was God. That's supernatural favor that came upon my book because I had obeyed God in writing it. And when you obey God and do what he's called you to do, whether it's small or a really hard thing, because sometimes it's hard what God asks of us. It takes time. It takes sacrifice. But when we're obedient to do that, then the supernatural favor comes and stuff happens that we can't even explain. It's amazing. It's exciting. So again, Jabez doesn't tell God what the blessings should look like. He just trusts that God knows best. And I want to encourage you to do that too. Ask him for the blessings, but we don't need to list exactly how we want him to bless us. I know as women, probably, we do this a lot. God, I need you to do this, and I need it to look exactly like this. You know, down. We have all the ways this, like when I pray for my son, I have it figured out where he's going to get saved, how, what it's going to look like, how he's going to come home, how the next stage of his life is going to. No, I don't need to worry about all that. God has it all figured out. Now, the next thing he says is, and I keep adding "oh" at the beginning of these little sentences because in reality, he says "oh" at the beginning, which means it's like "oh" in front of all these little things. Oh, that you would enlarge my territory. Oh, what does this mean, enlarge my territory? According to Bruce Wilkinson's, it means that we need to believe that as ministry opportunities expand, so our abilities, and we need to ask God for here is ask God to increase too. What we need to ask God for here is ask God to enlarge your life so you can make a greater impact for the kingdom. And we're not asking him to enlarge our territory. I need a bigger piece of property so I can park my boat. And then I need a big piece of property so I can build my new pool and guest house. No, and we're not talking about that kind of territory. We're talking about expand my territory, my reach for the kingdom of God so that the glory of God can be, you know, impact people through my life, through my abilities. Lord, please expand my territory. And I get a little nervous sometimes praying the prayer of Jabez. I'm not going to lie. Because I already feel like I'm kind of maxed out right here, God. Don't ask anything more of me. But the cool thing is that as God does bring maybe a next level assignment or whatever, he will also grant us that supernatural increase of abilities, increase of maybe being able to balance our time and figure all that out. So many of us, when we think about enlarging our territory, we think, well, I need to do this, and then I need to be more like this, and then if I could add this, then God will bring the increase. Well, Bruce Wilkinson says, no, it's actually just your willingness plus your weakness. That's really all God needs. Your willingness plus your weakness plus God's will plus his supernatural power, then that equals your expanding territory. So really all we're bringing to the party here is our willingness and our weakness. And hey, I've got weakness. I can bring that. I got that. I got plenty of that. Lord, have my weakness. Have my lack. Have all the things I'm not great at. Take it. I'm willing to do what you're calling me to do. Now, when that was my greatest fear in life, Pat wanted me to be on the show. That was my greatest fear in life. Okay? I'm not even kidding when I say that. And a couple things when I first started working in television that I realized immediately, two things that I never wanted to do that I completely was afraid of was, I pretty quickly realized I would never want to be a line producer, and I definitely don't want to be an on-air anything. Like, don't ever put a camera on me. And guess what God has had me do now? I'm now the line producer of the 700 Club, and I've been on the show as a guest. That was the scariest 8 minutes of my life. Oh my gosh, on the way to work that day when I was going to be on the show, that song came on. I will stand in your love. I'm not going to. Well, how's it go? Anyway, I was just like, oh, fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. I was singing that. Fear doesn't stand a chance when I'm standing in your love. I mean, God, please help me. I was so scared, but I made it. And that's the thing is when God enlarges your territory, it might lead into some things that are scary, but he's with you. He's with you. You're going to be okay. And, you know, that after being on the show, by the next day, Gordon Robertson came over and he said, how did your book do? And I go, I don't know. How would I know that? And he said, well, go to the Amazon. He said, you can look. And he showed me how to look to see how my, it had hit number one in three categories. And we all just stood there looking at the computer going, oh my, wow. So God can do amazing beyond anything that we can imagine. The last thing, and I like this part. He says, oh, that your hand would be with me. And I like this part. Oh, I love this part of the prayer because the hand here represents the Holy Spirit. And hand, if we look at the early church, they had this. We need to ask God for more of the Holy Spirit. Acts 11:2 says, the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Let me read that again. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. So early on, Jabez knew, I need the hand of the Lord to be on me. I need the Holy Spirit. You know, when you're dependent on God, when you're depending on doing something so large that you're guaranteed failure unless God shows up, that kind of dependence actually equals power because that dependence releases the Holy Spirit to show up, and that power is released. And Bruce Wilkinson calls it God hand on, he calls God's hand on you the touch of greatness. When God's hand is on you, it's the touch of greatness. So you don't become great, but God through you becomes so great, so magnified. So ask for the Father's touch. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, and I love this, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. So God is looking for somebody. I mean, those 44 names in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, nobody evidently is crying out to God in those 44 names, but he gets to Jabez, and Jabez is like, hey, God, God of Israel, I'm over here. Bless me indeed. He's looking, his eyes are looking. Who can I show? Oh, that you would keep me from evil. Amen. Lastly, he says, oh, that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. Now, we need to ask God to keep the temptations, the tricks of the enemy away. We need to ask God to keep us safe from the pain and grief that sin brings. You know, even Jesus taught this in his prayer. Part of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6:13 is, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Do you start your day saying, God, don't allow me to be led into temptation? Most of us just say, oh, I'm going to be tempted, so Lord, please help me when I'm tempted. No, that's not how we're supposed to pray. We're supposed to pray, don't even lead me to temptation. Don't even let temptation near me. If we're not even near temptation, then we don't have to resist it, right? So start praying, oh, that you would keep me from evil. Do not lead us into temptation, Lord, that we will not cause pain. We all know the pain that sin brings. And Bruce Wilkinson tells a story of when he was on an airplane coming back from a very successful conference he'd been at, but he had literally spoken into 76 people's lives. He journaled it. So he had spent a lot of time with counseling, different things, and he was really just depleted. And he said that's when you're really vulnerable to attacks from the enemy, is when you're depleted and you've kind of poured out and there's really nothing left in the tank. And he said that morning he had prayed, Lord, lead me, you know, keep me from evil. Lead me not into temptation. And he said he got on the plane in a middle seat, and the guy on the left opened up a dirty magazine. And he said, really, God, you know, I just prayed that you would not lead me to temptation. He's like, so I turned kind of to the other side. And he goes, and then that man on the other side opened up a magazine, another dirty magazine for the remainder of the journey. And so he's like, okay, you know, I guess I'll just close my eyes for the remainder of the journey. And he said, then quickly, the guy on the other side, the first side of him said, he's cursed or something, and then he threw his book down and never opened it up again. He was like, well, okay. And then the same thing happened on the other side. And so the Lord took away the temptation. And, you know, sometimes we just don't know what a day could bring forth. So let's be at the beginning of our day, pray, Lord, keep me from evil. Amen. And the last thing here, it says, so God granted him what he requested. Isn't that great? That's the happy ending here. God answered his prayer, and God will answer your heart's cry too. So I just want to encourage you tonight. We're going to worship, and then I'm going to lead you through the prayer of Jabez. Matt has some copies he's going to pass out in a little bit. But I'm going to dismiss you at this time. You want me to tell the story about Sky? Oh, I forgot to tell the story about Sky. Okay, well, that'll take me like a minute, 90 seconds. I don't know. So as I was talking to Sky about doing this teaching tonight, she said, oh, Mom, remember when you gave me the book back in 2018? Evidently, I'd given it to her that year. And she goes, And I said, I don't remember giving you that book. She goes, oh, Mom, it completely changed that entire year for me. I go, well, tell me the story. Well, she had graduated from college, and then she'd come back and gotten a job at Regent in really working the phones for admissions. And it was a kind of a phone bank job where you're kind of in this awful room, phone upon phone, and it's not my daughter's thing to be like that. She needs to be a free spirit and talk to lots of people around her. So being stuck on the phone was a very unhappy place for her. So I had given her that book and encouraged her to pray, and I would cry. I would cry. And she said, Mom, I would pray the prayer of Jabez on the way to work, and I would cry. I would cry tears while I was praying it. She goes, and then I would pray it on my way home. She goes, but when I would pray it in the morning, I'd get to work and nobody would see during the day that I was upset. I was friendly, I was courteous, I was whatever, trying to be a blessing. And she goes, so after 1 month of being there, that month that she was so unhappy, they came to her and said, Sky, we've just noticed that you're just always upbeat and you're really good with people and you really go the extra mile for this and that. And we have a job in the other building where you'll be working with students that are coming in the building to check out the school and da 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 da. Anyway, she got transferred. And she said, Mom, I just felt like the Lord had heard my cry. And it just opened up a really cool job for her where she was working with people, real people, not over the phone. And she was able to enjoy that year. And then, of course, then the Lord took her to another position of ministry in California. And from there on, I mean, you guys, she, in the last few months, she has preached in 4 high schools, public high schools. She's been asked to speak at different clubs. And she's getting opportunities to preach, and she's preaching tomorrow night at her young adults. They have like 100 kids on 100 young people on Thursday night. So the Lord's using her in big ways, but she's like, Mom, it started with the prayer of Jabez. You got to tell everybody. So anyway, there you go. There's your story. So I'm going to get dismissed, those of you watching online, and then the rest of us are going to stay and pray. So let's pray. Father, we do pray the prayer of Jabez now, Lord. We pray that you would bless us indeed. God, we pray that you would enlarge our territory. Lord, we pray that your hand would be with us and that you would keep us from evil. And we thank you, Lord, that you will hear our cry and you will answer our requests, God. And we just give you praise. I pray blessings upon everyone watching tonight, everyone here tonight, God. I expand in their lives and they become Jabez kind of year, Lord, where just things begin to expand in their lives and they become much, much more fruitful for the kingdom of God. And it just becomes a beautiful thing to behold, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us.